Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Here in the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it.
What is going on, everybody? What's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are the Brothers Layman, your host, Chris.
And Jonathan.
Man, it has been a fun week going on. We had our mom's birthday on the 12th. We went out, celebrated, had brunch. Bomb, yes, at Ritz-Carlton.
At the Ritz, my dog. At the Ritz.
The French toast was off the chain.
Oh, that food was good. I don't even know what to say. Food comatose. Probably be the best part of it.
No, I was trying to catch that fight. I wasn't able to, but lucked up in one of them last-minute ticket hookups. Got to see Earth, Wind, and Fire at the Bowl. So that was off the chain. So letting y'all know, that might be my inspiration for the music that's going to be played on this episode. Just giving y'all a heads up. I mean, 42 years in the game. Phillip Bailey still kicking it. Greatest band in the world, EWF, all of that was off the hook.
Doing the damn thing. That's right, that's right.
Yeah, you know we love our classics. Give respect to our
sir.
You know, well, this weekend, football-wise, was cracking.
Oh, man, it was crazy. A lot of close games, a lot of weird wins, weird losses. It was odd.
Yeah, it was. You know, so, yeah, if y'all want to chime in, hit us up, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Let us know what you're thinking, how your team's doing, how your fantasy team's doing, all of that.
Yeah, that's right. Any questions, comments, concerns you may have, anything y'all want to know, hey, you're looking at the waiver wire trying to figure out who you should pick up, got cats hurt, let us know. Might get you a victory.
That's what's up. Hey, man, shout out to Downtown Black and Brown at DTBB206 on Twitter. Hit us up. Said, I'm glad NFL is back. Brothers Layman will drop a sweet recap every week.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Glad we got to listen.
Yeah, that has to keep in mind they are biased to the Broncos. I told them, hey, man, it's only one of us. It ain't both of us.
Oh, That just makes it even better.
Well, shout out to Enrique Black for listening and tuning in. You know, we're going to start off with your team. I know your team feeling good up in the Pacific Northwest. I know Rashani feeling good, too. Talking about them Seahawks.
Let me tell you something. Battle of the two best defenses in the NFL. Battle of the two best teams in the NFC West. Perhaps even battle of the two best teams in the NFC in general.
Yep.
And it was what we thought it was going to be. It was ugly. It was physical. And there weren't a lot of touchdowns scored. Colin Kaepernick went from being the best quarterback in the world after week one to whatever after week two. And that's how it goes. You're the hero 1 week. You're sorry next week. You're the GOAT. And three picks, Colin Kaepernick, that ain't going to cut it. I mean, granted, Russell Wilson didn't have the best game in his own right, only 8-19 for 100-some-odd yards. So, like I said, this is two battle-tested defenses. They weren't going to make it easy. You know, Marshawn Lynch had two touchdowns rushing, but as you can see, you know, he had a bulk of carries, didn't even crack 100 yards. Neither team cracked 300 yards total. So, I mean, like I said, this was just a physical game. But Seattle won the battle of the turnovers, 5-1. That's always going to run in your favor.
Man, that whole lightning storm. Man, I was like, y'all delaying this even more. What's going on? Frisco got this bad luck coming with them.
Yeah, first I don't know what's going on with these some of these games. First it was the Broncos game where they had to delay that game due to weather. Now this game got delayed due to weather, so I don't know. A lot of people thought it would favor the 49ers, just like a lot of people thought the same thing with the Broncos game, because they had the whole incident in the Super Bowl, but we all know it don't really mean nothing once you get back on the field.
I mean, yeah, because right now with Seattle, I mean, there's all that talk, man, that, hey, if they win the NFC, who's going to beat them? I mean, they said they broke the record for the most loudest crowd or something this past weekend. I mean, that 12 man, they make it in that spot real hard. I mean, they said Colin Kaepernick was like, I couldn't hear nothing. You're like, wow. They defense, I mean, 3 points?
Yeah.
3 points.
I mean, it's nothing you can prepare for. There is no way to really emulate how loud that crowd gets and how disruptive they can be. And I mean, that's why it's very critical for teams win, especially if you're going into a place like a Seattle. You got to have, you know, your hand signals and things like that for that specific reason, because half the time you ain't going to be able to hear anything. So you got to use the hand signals. All right, this is how we're going to do it. And just roll that way or figure out another way to do it. I mean, it's not like we don't know Seattle's crowd hasn't been the 12th man for God knows how long. We still haven't been able to figure out how to play with it. So you got to figure out other ways. I mean, that's the only other thing I can say. You got to figure out other ways to beat them. You know, there was a point in time when Seattle was weak. So, I mean, obviously the 12th man can only do so much.
Right. But I mean, it's
so,
team.
Yeah.
Now that they're
relevant, the crowd is a little bit more into it. So,
right.
Yeah, that does lead to a little bit more noise. So,
yeah, Pete Carroll been slowly build something over there. I mean, they went that 7-9 and got in, and everybody was like, what the hell, and we need to reconfigure things. I mean, now ain't nobody talking about that. Like, oh, they legit.
Yep. They're serious. They're for real.
Richard Sherman over here talking smack about Harbaugh, didn't acknowledge him afterwards. I'm like, oh, here we go. When you start winning, you start feeling confident, like, all right, man, it's y'all 2-0. I know you're feeling good. You still got to go play them in Frisco.
I will say this about Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman talks smack just regardless. He just talks.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw, he's just going to talk. So.
We'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Seattle. I'm looking 2-0. Another team that is 2-0, you know, who some people are considering, or who have considered the best team in the league. Yes,
thank
one
you.
Of us in here does think that.
Thank you.
You know,
ain't just one of us.
Game.
The world should think it, because it's the truth. Best team in the football right now, no question.
The Manning Bowl.
The only team who scored 40 points this past weekend, sir. Who?
I told you it might be a shootout, but it was for at least one side.
It was what it was. I mean, Eli and the Giants, they can't get it together. And, I mean, the Broncos so far have shown that they are the team that knows how to adjust at halftime. I don't know what it is. They start off slow, and then come halftime, they come out and they are just firing on all cylinders. I don't know if it's just after seeing what was going on through the first half, they kind of know what to expect and adjust to it. I have no idea. But this is the second game in a row they have come out firing after the first half. They had a trend of doing this last year. I don't know what it is. So, I mean, you know, props to my team. Had a very good game. Peyton Manning once again with two more touchdowns. Had 9 touchdowns in the first two games. First quarterback to do that with 9 touchdowns and no interceptions in the first two games. I mean, he's just on a roll right now. And, I mean, with the offense, with the emergence of Julius Thomas, and now we got No'Shawn Moreno running for 2 touchdowns. If you have No'Shawn Moreno running for almost 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, yeah, this team is not going to lose. There's no way to beat them, because you really have to pick your poison. Can you stop the run? You going to stop the run? Which wide receiver are you going to stop? You going to stop Julius Thomas? You going to stop Demaryius, Eric Decker, Wes Welker? I mean, we saw last week, Eric Decker was dropping balls left and right. And what happened this week? He caught 9 balls. I mean, what can you say? I mean, Peyton Manning spreads it around. He loves his team, you know. The Denver defense has been creating turnovers, minus Chan Bailey and Von Miller. So, I mean, they're rolling right now. And, I mean, honestly, the way things are looking, it's looking like it could be a Seattle and Denver matchup in the Super Bowl, which would be interesting.
It would be. You know, hey, Denver's 2-0 rolling. They're looking at the, you know, the preseason talk. The Giants are not. I mean, this is what, like almost nine, 10 turnovers in 2 games? I mean, they can't run the ball for shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, part of that was the David Wilson fumbling in that first game. I'm sure Tom Coughlin chewed him out about it. He looked very tentative running through the hole. And, I mean, a lot of it was he was almost protecting the ball too much. And once you do that, you can't really run like you usually do. Because you're focused on holding on to that ball. So, I mean, once you do that, you mean you're not going to run like you usually do. And with David Wilson, he's got to run free. He's got to run free-minded and be able to use his speed and explosion to burst through the line. And when he's focusing on not fumbling, he can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, they're having to rely on Eli Manning. I mean, he's throwing 49 times, 4 interceptions. I mean, that's not how Eli is built. Eli is a above-average quarterback, but he's not the quarterback that you want him throwing 40, 50 times to win games.
Nope.
I mean, he's been best when he has a running game going and the defense is doing their job that he can hit. I mean, Victor Cruz is getting his, of course. He's helping us fantasy folk out, although I don't have him, but I mean, 8 for 118. But, I mean, yeah, they're not looking that good. Of course, you know, there's all the rumblings with them, like, up 0-2. Tom Coughlin's job, but, you know, the Giants always start out bad.
We've
can't
been
never
here
count
before.
Them out. No, they're in the division.
They're
you know,
in the division
really
where no
– division.
Thank you very much. The division is up for grabs. So at this point, it's been 2 games. I mean, it's 2 games.
Yep.
So,
you know, in their division, RG3, still not looking hot at all.
Mm-mm.
Green Bay comes in. Of course, you know, my fantasy league, I've 2 weeks in a row I've had to play the hottest quarterback that week. So I had to deal with Aaron Rodgers putting up 480 yards. Yeah, they just whacked him. 38-20. That Redskins defense is whack.
Boo-boo. That secondary specifically is absolute garbage. Absolute and utter trash. And you know what? I can't wait till the Broncos play them this year and kick their ass. Oh, it's going to be a sight to see. And we got rumblings now of should Washington bench RG3 for Kirk Cousins? I said, what? Really? I'm like, we at that point already, huh? But, I mean, to be fair, RG3 did bring a little bit of this on himself. I mean, with a guy coming back from an ACL tear, you don't want to rush him back. We all know what happened with RG3 coming out saying, yeah, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go, I was cleared, and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. So he's ready to go, but apparently he don't look ready. A lot of the stuff he's put up has been in garbage time trying to play catch-up. They haven't really run any read options. And, I mean, the part of that, I believe, is Mike Shanahan being a little hesitant with RG3. So, I don't know. But they're going to have to do something and get it together. I mean, they play a little bit better on offense. Alfred Morris was able to get going a little bit more, had over 100 yards, had a nice carrying average. So, I mean, but their defense is what it is. I mean, you can't stop anybody, then it's not going to help.
Yeah, I mean, he's come out and, you know, taken a lot of the shoulder to blame, that I'm not coming out warm and, I'm struggling out the gate and he has to do a better job and he's not the type that's just going to start pointing fingers and getting in guys' faces. That's not how he leads. So, you know, all right, good, you stepping up and claiming it because you said you were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You said you were 100%. You know, now, should they have played you in the preseason? That's debatable. But you said you were ready.
Yep.
The doctor cleared me. Why are you holding me back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, granted, second half, he's looked more himself. But, yeah, there's no read option. He's not running. And thing is, the time to sit him would have been these games.
And these
you know,
are the reasons.
He wasn't ready. And you should have, and, you know, he's not, say, he's not stepping into his throws. He's not looking confident. And this is why, arguably, you drafted a Kirk Cousins. You drafted a guy who you knew was injury prone. So you
yep.
backed him up with another quarterback. People were mad at him about it. Like, why would you draft another person in competition? You're like, hey, this is insurance.
Exactly.
This is the National Football League. A quarterback goes down, this is a quarterback league now. RG3 gets hurt, and he is everything to us. Then what? We just stuck. But nobody was, you know, I didn't think he'd come out the box hot. But, I mean, he's not looking comfortable at all. Not in the
and this is what irks me and scares me about some of these read option quarterbacks is that a lot of them, it's hard for them to play in a, let's say, a conventional offense. Like a Peyton Manning, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, and sit there in the pocket and pick apart a defense. It's harder for them because they rely a lot on their legs. So this is why I have always said I would prefer to have an Andrew Luck over an RG3, and why I think Andrew Luck is better than RG3. Because Andrew Luck can, yes, he can use his legs to move, but he sits in the pocket and can throw. That is what is the key. And we're seeing it with Cam Newton. Cam Newton looks terrible because they're not really running the spread option anymore. They're letting him run a conventional offense, and it ain't working for him. So with this whole – and that's why I said this whole spread option thing is going to go away eventually, because these guys who are spread option quarterbacks, they're not the best throwers out of the pocket. And in order to really succeed in the NFL, you got to be able to throw out of the pocket. You got to be able to sit back there and throw it and chuck it and be accurate with it and on time and always. And he's overthrowing cats. He's underthrowing cats. He's just not – he's looking tentative, you know, to run around. It just doesn't look good. So for him, I know he's going to get better. I mean, he can only get better. So, I mean, they'll be okay. They were in a situation last year where they were 3-6. We thought, you know, all hell is doomed for them. And next thing you know, they – rode the way into the playoffs. Fortunately, that's when RG3 got hurt, but he showed he can turn the team around and put the team on his shoulders and lead that team to win. So it's a matter of time. Like I said with the Giants, it's two games, and they're in a division that's up for grabs at this point, so I'm not going to worry too much at this point.
Yeah, I think he should start now. I mean, you've rode him now. He's in. I mean, so he's going to work out. So either the only way I can see you starting Cousins now is if RG3 is clearly not healthy.
Yep.
If he's not healthy to the point where he needs to sit, then take him out. Without a hesitation, just take him out. But if he's just working off rust, you went with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to play him.
Yep.
You know, and Green Bay with no quarterback issue. Aaron Rodgers, 4 damn touchdowns, no interceptions.
Ridiculous.
You know, James Jones, who was like missing last game, 11 receptions, 178. Randall Cobb, 9 for 128. Jordy Nelson gets 66 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Loving it, baby.
Even Jermichael Finley gets some, 6 for 65 and a touchdown. And, of course, my guy, Eddie Lacy, gets knocked out by, I think, a Merriweather.
And James Starks come in and looks great. So will James Starks claim the starting job now? Oh,
no.
He looked pretty good.
No.
He looked really good. I don't know.
Against a shitty defense.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's the one carry, man. Come on. That was my game.
Yeah,
that's my 132 yards. But, I mean, that offense, it just clicked.
Yeah, they're rolling right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do this. You know, if they continually get that running game, that's going to make a difference.
Aaron Rodgers
is doing what everybody drafted him expected to do, because you know many people drafted him number one.
Yes, sir. Then we got the Cowboys, who just always find a way to lose. They did it again.
Hey, man.
They did it again.
To me, this game is less about how Dallas just loses it, more about how Kansas City might be. It seems like they for real.
Well, look, Kansas City won two games last year. Considering the amount of Pro Bowlers they had on their defense, that shouldn't have happened. We all know they were terrible because of their offense, because their offense was ass. Now you got Andy Reid, who fresh start for him is very good for him. You got Jamal Charles, who's a top five running back. Brought in Alex Smith, who we all claim is a game manager, but we've all have also seen that he can lead a team to good things. As he led the 49ers to the NFC Championship game. So we know he can take a team, you know, to that level. He's not an elite quarterback by any means, but he's better than damn Matt Castle. So that worked out in their favor. They were able to re-sign Dwayne Bowe. And look out for Don Terry Poe. Remember that name. Defensive tackle for Kansas City. This fool is on an absolute tear right now. I had two more sacks against Dallas. First round pick last year, didn't really make a blip on the radar, but he is absolutely beasting right now. So their defense is rolling. They have a very good defense. Tom Bahali, Eric Berry, Derek Johnson. They got a lot of good players on their defense. So they're a really good defensive team. They are the one team I would say that can give Denver maybe a slight run for the division. Doubt it. But they're the team that would probably give them the most competition out of any team in the division.
Oh, no. Andy Reid has that team looking good. I mean, he's just a winning coach with a winning attitude. Alex Smith has a one. You know, Alex Smith is benefiting from Andy Reid, who's well with quarterbacks. And he's just, you know, he makes efficient throws. He's not turning the ball over. He's making the right play, taking what the defense gives you. That's all you ask your quarterback to do.
Alex Smith is 9-1 in his 9-1 in his last 10 regular season games. That's all I got to say.
He's efficient.
Yep.
And they're not asking him to be Tony Romo on the other end. They're asking him to just manage the game, don't turn it over. And he's doing that. Let the defense do their job. Hey, that Kansas City-Denver game, that first one, look out. They both 2-0.
Let me tell you something.
Hey.
Whatever.
Are they?
It's a nice start. That's all I'll say.
Hey, defense running game. We see it over there in the NFC West.
Mm-hmm.
It's always worked. Defense and running will get you some championships.
Yep, which is something Dallas can't do. DeMarco Murray, my goodness. That was just an awful running game from him. Tony Romo just hit the road, Jack. Dez Bryant is the lone bright spot. You had Jason Witten had, 12 yards? 12 yards? Like, come on. Terrible. And their defense is okay. Marcus Ware had two sacks. It's like the one guy you really count on is DeMarcus Ware. But besides that, they really ain't got much. So, I don't know. They're a riddle. They are a big question mark because they have all the talent in the world and they can't win. I don't know what else to say. I have said it constantly about Dallas. They just find ways to lose. They did it again. They're going to find a way to lose. You know, I can't wait for 2 weeks from now. Or excuse me, two weeks, week five. Denver's going to put a spanking on them Cowboys. Oh, yeah. That's an easy win. That's another win.
But, man, first of all, and maybe it's because I'm a DeMarco Murray owner, but I'm like, 12 carries? The guy got talent and can run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's the defense just shutting down the run, period, I get that. But this guy can run. And even when he's getting, if he had 12 carries and 80 yards, you'd be like, why aren't you giving this fool 20? They don't run the ball. You got a new offensive coordinator, you still don't run the ball.
Did Jason Garrett get his calling duties back?
But he didn't run the ball. I know he liked, see? Change it up, what happened? Nothing. Run the ball, make it easier for Tony Romo. You're putting all the pressure on this dude. He performs most of the time, but when he doesn't perform, it's always at the worst times. I mean, get his fool some help.
He got help. He got Jeff Brown, he got Biles Austin, he got Jason Witten. He got help.
Well, his coordinators ain't doing nothing for him. That's what it seems like.
We all knew Jason Garrett was like the head coach in waiting, and I was never really high on him in the first place, so whatever. Should have kept Bill Parcells. But whatever.
Yep. We got New Orleans 2-0.
Hey, man, they lucky they won that game, though.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
Weeks out.
I don't get it.
Tampa Bay
is
dysfunctional.
Losing it.
They are dysfunctional. Darrell Reeves is coming out talking about he don't like the way Greg Schiano does things. I've been said I don't like that coach. I've been said I really don't like him and his coaching style. I can't stand it because it almost seems like he belittles his players to an extent. And, you know, it's different playing with college kids as opposed to grown men. There is a difference. And some of those grown men in that locker room are probably his age. So it's like, dude, you can't treat dudes like that. You know, and if you got your star is coming out after week two and already complaining, that's a problem.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
for me, it doesn't stop with him. I'm sure he's not the only one who feels that way.
Now you heard all the rumors with Josh Freeman supposedly wanting to be traded. I mean, this is not good. I mean, it's like ever since that whole we don't see Neal, we just going to rush him anyway type of thing. I mean, his teams have been sloppy.
Yep.
You know, if you kept your team disciplined and they were winning, you know, then you can get away with it, a la mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin has been able to. But, you know, when you got the, you know, guys hitting out of bounds, you know, and then this game just, you know, they got to be smarter. And this is like, look, if you're supposed to be all about discipline and guys are not being disciplined, what's going on?
Exactly. That's a reflection on you as a coach. And I can't even blame Josh Freeman for wanting to be traded. He has been, ever since Greg Schiano came over, it didn't seem like he was very fond of Josh Freeman. And we saw that he picked Mike Gleason out of North Carolina State in his draft, who looked god awful in the preseason. So I don't know. Greg Schiano got to go. Like I've always said, I just never liked him, never liked his style. He needs to go back to college. Ain't nothing wrong going back to college. That's just where he needs to go.
If they keep playing his way, he will be.
And then the Saints, on the other hand, Jimmy Graham, thank you.
Yeah, I agreed. I almost won, but he did it. He helped out a lot. I mean, damn, 10 for 179 in a touchdown. That's why I picked you.
That's why we said he is in a category all by his own.
Yep.
Love it,
man. Yeah, the running game is a mixed bag. But you know,
well,
because
they have a mixed bag.
Yep. Dennis Brose does a lot. But, you know, like 20 carries, 75 yards is just enough.
Drew Brees.
Yard game.
Mm-hmm. What else is new?
Right. Although
does
not
it all the time.
At the point that mm-hmm. we used to, you know, maybe that'll come later.
But, I mean, one thing that a lot of people haven't spoken on and that needs to be said is that their defense is playing much better. And we saw what they were able to do against Atlanta, and we've seen what they were able to do against Tampa Bay. They were able to hold both teams under 20 points. So, I mean, they're doing a good job. Doing a good job.
It's another 0-2. Tampa Bay's in that 0-2 mix.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Arizona looking kind of nice.
Another team that just, I don't, they just can't get right without with the talent they got. Detroit, I don't know what the hell is going on with them, dude. Matt Stafford, no, right? I understand Reggie Bush did get hurt, which is a major blow for them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know, man. Their defense is not disciplined enough, I guess, so to speak. But, I mean, props to Arizona. Carson Palmer has looked good in Bruce Arians' offense. Larry Fitzgerald, I'm sure, is like, thank God I got somebody who can actually get the ball to me if he can stay healthy. And, I mean, look at Rashard Mendenhall. There's a guy who came back, another guy who ruptured his Achilles, you know, working his way back. He was a guy who, before he got hurt, a lot of guys were really high on him. Like, this, he is the dude. And he got hurt, was able to find, you know, a spot in Arizona, someplace he could start. I know there were rumblings that Denver was looking at him. But he chose to, you know, go to Arizona and start, rightfully so. And he's looking pretty good. Had a touchdown run. He's looking pretty good, showing some burst. Maybe a guy, if you haven't picked up, you need some running back on the waiver wire, look for him.
I have to. I mean, he got them doing their thing. Their defense has stepped up. You know, Carson Palmer is efficient. You know, Fitzgerald got banged up a little bit, you know. But, hey, they did enough to survive. That's what you got to do.
Exactly, exactly.
Calvin Johnson keeps coming through. Losing a... Reggie Bush is like, God, it's just everybody getting hurt. Here we go.
Like, good Lord, it's crazy. And then we got, I got to move on to, couldn't believe it when I saw it. Philadelphia. How? Here we go with this Chip Kelly offense. It's already starting. These cats are getting worn out in the first half. And then come second half, they gassed. They can't do nothing.
Man, what's Phillip Rivers doing over there? He's trying to be a scoring machine over here.
This is why I said at one point we did consider him an elite quarterback. But I said the talent didn't go away. It didn't go anywhere. You hone on what he's good at. And Mike McCoy so far has done a good job at doing that, working at what Phillip Rivers is good at, which is in the short to intermediate area. He'll occasionally go deep. But he's better at the short and intermediate area of the field. That's just where he's best. And I mean, Ryan Matthews put up a nice game. Eddie Royal come out with 3 touchdowns. I don't know where that came from.
What?
5 touchdowns in 2 games. 5 touchdowns in 2 games. I don't know what's going on. But, hey, much love to Mike McCoy, former Broncos coordinator. And, shoot, Phillip Rivers is looking like a new man.
I'm saying, got Antonio Gates looking young with 8 for 124. You know, Malcolm Floyd in the mix. I mean,
even though he got hurt.
I know, that was nasty. Like,
that was unfortunate.
Guys carted off. But yeah, hey, they doing it. You know, Philly, it seemed a little gassed. You know, everybody's waiting to see how long Vic gonna last. But yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy, 11 carries, come on. He needs 25+.
To be fair, he had quite a few catches.
Yeah.
So it's not like they didn't get him involved. But, yeah, I do agree. 11 carries ain't enough. You got to feed that man. You got to feed him.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson, you know, if you took him with your draft, big dividends early.
Kicking myself
for 193 yards. This old DeSean Jackson.
Hey, man, like I said, with Jeremy Maclin gone, somebody got to step up. DeSean Jackson is that guy. He was another one we considered. He was considered up in the, not the elite receivers, but he was up there in the upper tier of receivers as your deep threat and real true playmaker. And he's showing his skills. His skills have not diminished. He's still fast as all get out. And you let him behind you. That's it. That's it, man. Bombs away.
Riley Cooper even got him a touchdown.
Oh,
even on the map, I don't know if he's taking that hit, quote unquote, yet. But I guess it's early. I'm like, let's see if people still gonna remember.
Oh, it hasn't been forgotten, sir.
Oh, I know. Dude's just buying their time. Well, we're gonna take a quick break. We coming right back, talking more football, y'all. Listen to the Brothers Lamb Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour with Chris and Jonathan. Hey, another team that's 2-0. New England, not winning pretty, but two division wins. Danny Amendola pissing me off. You know, you heard him, but hey, man, Tom Brady is just getting it done.
Didn't we all know Danny Amendola was going to get hurt? It was bound to happen.
Yeah, but I had to take a chance anyway. But not a week after week one, no. I figured at least get to week 6 or 7 and then go down.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Julian Edelman stepped up. Andre Dobson got him a touchdown. You know, their defense is looking good. You know, they're just, hey, they're cruising in. You know, Tom Brady's just doing this thing. You know, I know he was getting mad and getting frustrated in that game.
His offense was so sloppy.
I know. I mean, he's working with pieces.
Yeah. But things will get better. Gronk looks like he's coming back, and he'll be hopefully close to 100%, I hope, with all my team.
Amendola will be back in a few weeks.
Amendola is avoiding surgery, so he said he'll be back in a few weeks. So he'll have some of his pieces coming back. I know he'll be targeting Julian Edelman quite a bit.
Yep.
So get him while you can.
Yeah, and over on the Jets side. I mean, what do you think of Geno Smith so far, 2 games?
You know what? For a rookie quarterback, I mean, he shows some talent. He shows some skills. I mean, he has an absolute bomb like a lot of people thought he would. And, I mean, considering what he's working with, which is a marginal running game at best, and then you got so-so wide receivers, I mean, he's not working with a whole lot. So, I mean, at this point, for what he's working with, he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, better than expected. I mean, he's shown that he has some talent and some qualities that can make him a starting quarterback in this league. You know, but the 3 interceptions, just underthrowing guys, like, we knew he wasn't really ready, so this is a learning curve. And
exactly.
You know, Mark Sanchez out basically for the season, which is like, damn, that just, even though I'm not a Mark Sanchez fan, I was like, God, I feel bad. You got thrown in, injured during the game, hoping you would at least try to get your starting spot back, and now you're just out.
Yeah,
which probably means if Geno Smith plays well, you're gone.
Yep, you're gone. You're cut.
Now, Chris Ivory's trying over there. Come on, bro, I got you. You know, he looked all right in the game. I'll give him that.
He looked okay. He looked all right. So, I mean, they can get something going in the running game, then they'll be okay. They're not going to be a very good team, but they'll be all right.
And then Monday night's game. The Steelers, man.
Their offense is horrendous.
Looking
ugly. To say the least. I don't know, man. I feel bad for Mike Tomlin, but at the same time, God, your offense is horrible. I mean, I understand.
Terrible, man.
I understand the injuries, but gee whiz. I mean, they can't do anything. They can't block anybody. They can't run the ball. They can barely pass the ball. See, the only thing they got going for them is their defense. Their defense is doing the best they can to hold these teams in check, but their offense just can't do anything. They can't move the ball.
Yeah, you already know the defense is old and, you know, so-so, not that defense. I mean, it's hard because, you know, they want to play Steelers football, but they don't have the pieces. Their defense is okay, not dominant. Their running game is nothing, you know, because they have no line. Now, Roethlisberger's trying, you know, but he's taking a pounding all the time. You know, he can't do all that. So, yeah, Pittsburgh's in a weird 0-2 situation. You know, we know it's not going to get any easier. You know, the Bengals, hey, I mean, the Bengals look good in their division. Now looking like the team that's actually going to win it.
They're looking good, man.
45 passes still, but, I mean, 280 yards. Giovanni Bernard actually, you know, was looking pretty good in that game, too. Starting to develop, you know, looking like that great pickup everybody was hoping for. one catch and one rushing touchdown. The defense is solid. I mean, you know, Jermaine Gresham showed up. Now, A.J. Green, of course, is that dude. So Cincinnati looks like they really want to win this division. And it doesn't look all that great, but, I mean, they got all the pieces to compete and win this division right now.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. They are the team that I chose to win the division, and so far it looks like they're on their way. Just like you said, I mean, Giovanni Bernard looks like a great change of pace guy for the law firm, and I think eventually he's just going to take over the starting job from him. A.J. Green is A.J. Green. If you guys didn't catch it, there is a great ESPN 60 video on him and how he grew up and all that. So very, very heartfelt, very, very humble kid. So I root for A.J. Green. He's a beast. And then you got Marvin Lewis, who everything he's been through, all the times he's been getting dogged about all the disciplinary things and issues that were happening, guys getting DUIs and constantly getting arrested, it seems to have toned down a little bit. He seems to have a little bit more control of the team now. And guys are focused. And along with that defense, they're going to be a scary team to face.
Yeah, hopefully they don't have that hard knock effect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so far so good.
Yep, yep.
You know, and just staying in that division, you know, today the big trade went down, the unexpected trade. You know, trade like this don't happen in the NFL that often during the season.
Not at all.
Oh, but Trent Richardson traded to the Colts for a number one pick, for a first-round pick.
All I can say is you in fantasy league and you got Trent Richardson, I know you happy. You're like, cool, he gets to go to an offense where he can actually do something. But, I mean, as weird as this trade looks, when you look at the Browns and look at who now is in the organization, you kind of understand. There's a new coaching regime, and we all know when you have a new coaching regime come in, the old guys who were drafted by the old regime, they aren't their guys. So there's no real loyalty to them. Secondly, Vic Lombardi, who was brought in to be the GM of that team, is a guy who, me, from what who I know who he is, he was an analyst on NFL Network. And he wasn't really fond of Trent Richardson, you know, while he was doing his whole draft analysis. And neither was Brandon Whedon either, with his draft analysis. So those are two guys that really for him, it really was not a big deal for him to trade them because, you know, he was never high on them in the first place. And Brandon Whedon now being hurt, it comes out of nowhere that Jason Campbell's not going to start. Brian Hoyer is going to start, who's the third string quarterback. It almost seems like the Browns are just kind of hoping to lose, which kind of ticks me off because I have Josh Gordon. But that's the way it's looking. It's almost looking like they're hoping to lose, and they're just trying to roll the dice and get the number one pick so they can get Teddy Bridgewater and move on to next season.
That's what it feels like. I mean, you're already 2 weeks into the season. You could have done this ahead of time.
You trade your best offensive player.
You know, but is it just because, you know, Brandon Whedon's hurt and, you know, got Josh Gordon was coming back? It's just, I don't know, man. When I saw it hit cross over my phone, I had to read it like twice. And I'm like, wait, traded Trent Richardson? Wasn't this like, you know, they were talking about, oh, this dude is going to get 300 carries. He's going to be our workhorse back. You know, they 0-2. I mean, not shocking, but, you know, they held, you know, Baltimore pretty tight. So he was just like, okay, they not great, but they building something. You know, but this feels like one of those, we just going to trade our best player and start over.
Yep.
You know, even though, like, y'all were towards the bottom anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, okay, so you don't believe in Trent Richardson. I know this is a quarterback league, but, you know, we've already talked about defense and running game wins championships.
And I think part of it was Trent Richardson's injury issues. There were also rumors of him having maturity issues. So I think there's more that went into it than, you know, of course they're going to lead on. But, you know, like you said earlier, maybe they may know something that we don't know, that Indianapolis don't know.
Yeah, maybe it might be something long term that they think is going to be an issue, and they're just, you know, dumping them now. Mm-hmm. But clearly, you trade a guy after 1 year. You number three pick. You're basically saying that we chose incorrectly.
Yep.
That's what you're saying.
It's not a secret. They wanted RG3. That's who they wanted. They didn't get him. So.
I guess. I'm like, Cleveland fans, it just keeps getting better for y'all.
Yep.
They just got some hope, and all right, and then he's dashed.
Yep.
So 2 weeks into the season, you know, a lot of teams 2-0, a lot of teams 0-2. Our 2-0 teams, New England, Chicago Bears, Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans, New Orleans Saints, your Denver Broncos, and the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these teams do you actually think is a pretender? That 2-0 doesn't really speak much about them, that they're going to be one of the teams in the middle or just fall off by the end of the season?
That's a tough one, because all those teams are very competitive, very good teams.
Okay.
But out of all those teams,
you don't really have that much faith in their 2-0?
Out of all those teams, I'm going to have to go with the Chicago Bears. I just think with a new coaching staff, I'm not quite sure with them. Jay Cutler, also another guy I'm not quite sure about. We've seen it before where he throws four touchdowns and then he throws four stupid interceptions. So I honestly don't know. No Brian Urlacher. So far they've done well, but they've seen that their games have been very close and they've had to come back in both of their games that they won. So right now I can't say I'm honestly sold on Chicago.
Okay. Okay. For me, all these 2-0 teams, it's still Miami. I think Chicago's gonna do well. It's for Miami. I like what they had here. I think, you know, Tannehill's coming along. He's got the weapons outside with Hartline and Wallace. You know, maybe Lamar Miller can pick it up. Their defense has been pretty good, so I think they're not a terrible team, but I just think with all these other teams that are playing well, I mean, and you got Kansas City. You got Kansas City 2-0, who I think is legit. It's going to be hard for them, I think, to get into the playoffs, you know, with these teams coming out with the wild card and all that. I like them. I just don't like them making the postseason at this point.
No, I hear you. That's fair.
Now, we got a couple of 0-2 teams, Carolina Panthers, Minnesota Vikings, Washington Redskins, Cleveland Browns, Tampa Bay Bucks, Jacksonville Jaguars, and the New York Football Giants. Is there any team that you would say 0-2 is not of, even though you are what you are on your record, is there a team that you think is better than their 0-2 start?
Yes, and I know this is going to surprise some people because I'm not going to put the obvious selection. I'm going to say the Carolina Panthers. I just think they have too much talent. Cam Newton is too talented of a quarterback. I mean, we've seen it his rookie year. We've seen the flashes of potential he has. You know, once Jonathan Stewart gets healthy, that gives him a little two-headed monster with he and D'Angelo Williams. Steve Smith is Steve Smith. Greg Olsen is awesome tight end. You know, and they've upgraded their defense. And we saw how tight they played Seattle, you know, and they look like they're going to be okay. I mean, they're 0-2 right now, but like I said, they're too talented to not win some games. Their defense is awesome. Luke Kuechly is probably one of the elite linebackers that nobody really talks about, flying under the radar, but their secondary is a little bit of an issue. But like I said, they're one team that I see them bouncing back. I know they play in a tough division with Atlanta and New Orleans. Tampa Bay, I'm not worried about, but I think they're going to surprise some people.
Okay, okay. Now, I was not expecting that. You know, I'll take the obvious with me. I think it's the Giants.
Yeah.
And they've been playing poor, just no running game, turning the ball over like crazy. They should be better than 0-2. Now they've had to play some, you know, some quality teams. I mean, playing the, you know, the Cowboys and then the Broncos right out. I mean, that's tough. But you know, I think, you know, with Coughlin, they'll figure some things out. I don't expect Manning to throw another three interceptions in this next game. But I just think it's them. The Giants, you know, can be better than they are, and they're still in a winnable division. I think they should bounce back and, you know, start getting on track.
I heard that.
All right, looking forward to week three. You know, there's a few games out here that kind of stand out and grab your attention. Is there a game you're looking forward to? What would be your game of the week that you want to check out?
Well, my game of the week is going to happen to be coming up tomorrow, and that's going to be Kansas City and Philly. Andy Reid, of course, going back to Philadelphia, where took the team to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. I mean, you got to have nothing but love for Andy Reid. I mean, considering everything he's been through, all the issues he had with his sons, you know, and his family and all of that, you know, the city of Philadelphia, their blue-collar crowd, they're hard-working people, you know, and I'm sure they appreciated everything Andy Reid did for them. He's a soft-spoken guy, you know, works hard and does his job and goes about his job like a professional. And he's done a great job with Kansas City so far, and they're looking good. So I think there won't be any animosity towards Andy Reid. If anything, he'll get a standing ovation when he comes back. And they're also going to honor Donovan McNabb, so it's going to be a very emotional night on both sides of the ball. You know, Vic had high praise for Andy Reid as well, came out and said it. So, I mean, this is a game that is going to be an emotional high on both sides of the ball, and man, the best team wins.
I hear that. There's a few out here from my camp. I'm not sure. There's a few games that I'm curious to see what these teams can do against quality opponents. Ugh, it's hard to choose. But if I had DirecTV and all that, and I could look at a game, I'd actually like to see what the Bengals can do at home against the Packers. Now, that one looks kind of interesting to me. You know, I like what Cincinnati's doing. I think they're a team on the come up. You know, I like to see what their defense can do against, you know, the Packers. You know, the Packers are 1-1. Aaron Rodgers comes off that 480-yard game. You know, Eddie Lacy looks like he's not playing. So, you know, I want to see what's going to happen. You know, James Starks stepped in and did well, but you know, I want to see what Cincinnati's going to do. I think a lot of people have been doubting them and not, you know, not thinking they can do much. But, you know, they got some talent over there. They got some weapons, and I want to see what they can bring.
I heard that. That's going to be a great game to see.
I mean, you got other games where it's talent that you want to see. You want to see what, you know, what Arizona can do against the Saints. I mean, the Saints have not been putting up a lot of points these first 2 weeks. You know, Arizona, do not sleep on them.
Patrick
Peterson out there, you know, they have a solid defense. You know, Carson Palmer is there. Larry Fitzgerald's probably going to make up for, you know, the struggles he had in week two. I know he was banged up, but, you know, I like to see that. I think a big game for a team that does not want to go 0-3 is the Giants at Carolina.
Woof.
Both 0-2. Neither team wants to be down three games.
Not at all, because that would be a complete disaster.
Yeah, they've both underachieved a lot. That's going to be tough. You got Detroit at Washington. Hopefully, you know, the home cooking will get RG3 going. But the Lions are dangerous, that's for sure.
And let me just apologize now to everybody for the Monday night game that they're going to have to sit through. Raiders against the Broncos. Raiders be lucky if the Broncos don't drop 50 points.
Oh, calling it now.
Calling it now. Terrell Pryor, let me tell you something. He's about to be exposed on national TV. But let me tell you something. For all the teams out there who need to prepare and, you know, prepare for these mobile quarterbacks, forget that the Broncos had to deal with Tim Tebow in the practice, and that's all he probably did was scramble half the time. They know how to deal. John Fox is smart enough. You know, Dennis Allen was a defensive coordinator with the Broncos, so they know him very well. They don't have much talent. It's going to be a massacre.
Man, it's a rivalry game. So I always say when the rivalry games come, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raiders on television Monday night. No, you just lost your left tackle for the season.
Yeah, fortunately, Ryan Clady was put on injury reserve. But, you know, I got all faith in Chris Clark. A lot of people don't know who he is. But this is a guy, Ryan Clady, for those who don't know, Ryan Clady was out during training camp. This is a guy who stepped in, played throughout the preseason with the starting unit. So everybody's familiar with him. You know, I'm sure they'll occasionally throw some help over to his side for these tough pass rushers that he'll have to deal with, protecting Peyton's blind side. But I got the utmost faith in him, and I think he'll hold up. He'll be fine. Plus, I mean, it's Peyton Manning, a quarterback. He's going to make his adjustments as necessary as well.
Yeah, I love watching them two when them teams play. It's always, we don't like you, and I don't like you neither. They bring it.
Yeah, they do. And, I mean, it's Peyton Manning versus the Enigma, Terrell Pryor.
And the last game that's actually got some backstory to it is the Colts going to the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck fixing his old coaching from college.
Mm-hmm.
So he even said, like, hey, you know, we might chop it up for the game. Once the game starts, I don't like him.
And that is why I'm picking Andrew Luck over all these other young quarterbacks, because Andrew Luck gets it. He understands. Then what else do I need to say about him? He's the number one freaking pick, and he has proven to be worthy of it.
Now
with the addition of Trent Richardson, that's only going to make him more dangerous.
Oh, no, that adds a lot, man. I'm curious to see what they're going to do now. They got an extra running game. Amon Bradshaw, he would feel like he's wasted.
Nice change of pace. Wasted draft pick, though. Sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, for those who don't know, Willis McGahee taking a physical tomorrow with the Browns. I've already scooped him up, but if he's available in your league, go get him. Because he is getting totes. Because they have no other running back. Literally, they have one running back run right now on the roster. I kid you not. One. So, Willis McGahee. Remember that name? Pick him up.
Yeah. That's what it's about. I mean, we're gonna run over to the Happy Hour Fantasy Football League 2 weeks in. Do some nice battles over here. You know, right now, CEO Raiders got on the K-Town Killers 136-125. He's sitting alone at the top at 2-0. That's all right. It's early. You know, I do Julio Jones go off and have some solid play from the rest of his team. You know, K-Town Killers came up a little short, you know, although he had Peyton Manning and Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson. It just wasn't enough. Of course, I redeemed myself. Cold as ice. Comes
lucky.
Back. Get on Bass Brothers, 120-103. How you like that? Brandon Marshall, what's up? And Julian Edelman, who I picked up, was nice. Got me some catches. CJ Spiller brought it. Greg Olsen, don't sleep.
Well, I said he a good tight end.
No, he's been a good one. No. Bass Brothers got some, you know, Andrew Luck and Arian Foster helped him out, but, you know, not much else. You know, Lamar Miller starting to make his way around. 220 gang took a ass whooping from Mid City Brigade, 143-89.
Oof, shit. My goodness gracious.
God. All 220 had was a
stinker of the week.
Yeah, you got Jordy Nelson gave him a dub. Matthew Stafford hooked him up. But, I mean, that's it. Demaryius Thomas, Colston, Ray Rice, DeMarco Murray, and Pittsburgh D all gave him under 10 points.
Oof. Sorry, dude. That's just a bad week.
Yeah. Missed it here. Michael Vick gave him 40 points. Calvin Johnson showed up. Let's see. You know, he had James Jones gave him some love.
Hmm.
Darren McFadden gave him 16 points.
Mm.
And the Chicago, they helped him out. So, yeah. We got Boumaye. Boumaye coming in. That victory, 116.30 over Hughes Dick, 110.52. No, that's pretty close. You know, Marshawn Lynch sealed the victory for him, gave him 33 points.
Them two big touchdowns, so huge.
You know, Hughes Dick had a Matt Schaub and Des Bryant, you know, do the work for him, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
This is the ass whooping. Damn, T Money on ST Elliott, 160.96 to 88.28. Damn.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. Yeah, that is the stinker of the week. My goodness gracious.
What happened?
I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, well, LeSean McCoy gave him 20. You know, Julian Thomas and, you know, Brian Powell helped him out, but other than that, nothing. And he started Amendola, which means you wasn't on your game, bruh.
He started Brian Powell. That's a problem.
Yeah, I'm looking now like, nah, man. See, now that means I got to be on my game as commissioner. And you know Damian Amendola ain't playing.
Come on, dude.
Do something.
Come on, dude.
T-Money, I mean, Cam Newton, Randall Cobb, Eric Decker, Alfred Moore, Jimmy Graham went nuts, and Moreno.
I mean, what can you
he
do?
Just hit.
Once again, he was just on. That's a great week.
Yeah, everybody wish we had weeks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately.
Oh, and freaking two, dude.
Yeah, man.
It's all good. You know what? I've learned my lesson. Going with my starters. Kimbrough Tompkins is done. He had his opportunity to shine, and he blew that shit wide the fuck open.
Yeah, you gambled and took a L on that one.
Stevie Johnson, of course, sat on the bench, gave me like 20 points. Like, thanks, dude, thanks. That was the victory right there. Even with Frank Gore giving me nothing.
I know, man.
Can't win.
Yeah, Steve Smith underperformed. I mean, Jamal Charles and Forte helped you out, but yeah, Frank Gore gave you nothing.
Ish.
He had, of course, Mr. Rogers.
God, thanks. Once again, a quarterback who goes bananas on me again for the second straight week.
I had that happen. Same that happened to me in another league. And, of course, he got Seattle defense, which just hooked him the hell up.
Yep.
So that's the wrap up of the Happy Hour Fantasy Football. Hope y'all enjoying the league so far. And y'all enjoying your favorite sports out there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Hey, and if you're down on two like me, don't even fret. You'll get it together. A win. All that matters is going to the playoffs. That's all that matters. Getting to the playoffs. Just get in and you'll win.
That's what's up. Man, over in college football. That big game last week, Alabama got their revenge.
Yeah, they did.
But almost blew it in the process. I was like, then they all right. They pulled out and got that ass whooping. And all of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute, 49-42, they almost came back? Like, damn.
I mean, even though the game seems closer, like 49-42, it wasn't that close. So let's not get it twisted. But, I mean, got to give credit where credit's due. Alabama did they do. You know, even though their defense was slipping and let Johnny Manziel get over 500 yards, you know, credit to Johnny Manziel for doing what he had to do. But, shoot, I mean, A.J. McCarron was hitting. I mean, he's a beast. He's a guy that not a lot of people talk about as, I guess, you know, the first round, whatever, quarterback and whatever. But he looks like a pro quarterback. He just he picked the defense apart, and that was the big question mark with Texans A&M was their defense. Could they defense stop them? And we got the answer to the question. It was a big fat no.
No, you knew they was coming for revenge. I mean, I would have been shocked if Alabama lost this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, they dialed up. You know, Nick Saban got his team focused. You know, they had this circle all last season. Yeah, Montel almost 98 yards rushing. I mean, they still keep talking about what he going to do as an NFL quarterback. I'm like, well, let me see him come back with another season.
I'm just like, look, I mean, based off size, he ain't going to go in the first round. Let's just put it that way. I mean, you had a guy like Mark, you know. Like I was talking about Matt Barkley being a guy who was potentially a first-round pick, and look how far he dropped. We just don't know. We just don't know. It's just when you go through the process of the combine, you go through the interviews. Plus, he's going to have to answer a lot of questions about his off-the-field issues. We know that has become a big factor in getting picked these days. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, one of people getting that far ahead. It's just, I mean, if he puts up good numbers again, I mean, he'll be in consideration. Hey, I mean, somebody took Tim Tebow first round, and everybody was like, he ain't going in the first round. You never know.
Yeah.
And then, man, that was a weird ending in that Arizona State-Wisconsin game. And I'm happy
the
Packers got to win, but that was kind of strange.
I mean, it was terrible call by the referees. I mean, if you look at the play, the quarterback from Wisconsin was trying to kneel. He tripped a little bit in the beginning, but his knee, when they zoomed in, his knee hit the ground. Ergo, the clock should have stopped. So,
yeah, I looked at it and I thought
that was bad reference.
No, it was bad reference. I actually thought he was going to spike the ball, and it looked like he just dropped it. Like, okay.
Because it's different in college football. Once you're down, I mean that the play is over. I mean, that's why you see a lot of guys who, if they're down and like, let's say for instance you trip and nobody touches you, well, once you trip and fall, that's it. Play is over. It's not like the NFL where you can trip, fall, get back up, and keep running. You can't do that in college. Once you're down, the play is over. Yeah, once your knee hits the ground, the play's dead. That's it. So once his knee hit the ground, the play should have been dead, and they should have, you know, allowed him to run another play. But the refs, and as you saw, his team was lining up to try and run another play, and the refs blew it. So
that
was a bad call by the refs.
Yeah, that was weird, but... Hey, I'm happy for Arizona State. You know, even UCLA getting a big W over Nebraska. That was a big one.
Mm-hmm. Big time. UCLA, let's go.
Pac-12, trying to come with it.
Yeah, man. The Pac-12 is looking good. Oregon's looking good. UCLA is looking good. USC is trying to be decent.
Yep, Stanford on the thing. I mean,
yeah, Stanford's balling.
Give us some love over here, y'all.
Exactly. It ain't all about the SEC all day.
Right.
I get it twisted.
It ain't. Hey, man, and then this, you know, they keep having talks. There's more issues. You know, they had an SI report. Oklahoma State players received cash payments. You know, while Les Miles was there, which was old. Just like, all right, not why you telling us now. You can't do nothing.
Oh, the report also came out that Oklahoma State players were smoking a lot of weed. And the coaches were apparently basically knew they were and were hiding it. And there were a lot of players who were smoked prior to games. During the week, tests would be kind of covered up in a sense. And, yeah, once again, when Les Miles was there and continuing through Mike Gundy. So, there's a lot of stuff going on right now with Oklahoma State. It's not looking good for them at the moment, you know, and granted they have produced some talented players. You know, we saw Justin Blackman go early, but he has a cocaine problem. We saw Dez Bryant come out of Oklahoma State, but he has a history of getting in trouble. So it's something about that school. It's something about that school.
Yeah, they don't seem to be the most disciplined program, and now with this coming out, it's a black eye on the school.
Yep, big time.
We'll see what the NCAA does, but you know, the president came out and said, despite all the money that college football is making, these student athletes will not be employees. They will not be getting paid.
Yeah, not right now.
No, it's
not right now.
Ongoing argument. You know,
right now.
You already got guys suing. You know, for using their likeness, it's going to keep happening. You know, it's a hard debate. Do you just pay football and basketball only? You don't pay baseball. You don't pay the golf, wrestling. They don't. None of them get money. Do the girls get money? Because, I mean, hey, women's basketball programs do be drawing. Do they get money? You know, how much does everybody get a fair shake? And does, of course, the skilled players, do they get more money? I mean, it's complicated. It is.
It's a big debate that's going to continue to go on for years and years.
Oh, yeah. It will. Quick stop in the NBA. I know your boy Tom Thibodeau was upset. You know, Luol Deng, no extension. It's going to happen. He will be testing the free agent market. How you feeling?
Hey, you know what? He said he wants to test the free agent waters, and that's fine. I mean, he's a free agent. That he has a right. He has a right. He has been a Chicago Bull his entire career. And just like with a lot of guys, at some point in their careers, yeah, they want to test the free agent water. They want to be courted a little bit, you know, and see what's out there for them. You know, I'm probably assuming that the deal that the Bulls probably offered him wasn't fair or wasn't what he wanted. But I'm sure once he goes out and see what other teams are offering him as in comparison to the Bulls, who knows, he might just come back to the Bulls. I mean, who knows? And who knows what moves the Bulls might make. They might trade Luol Deng, for all I know. I have no idea. But, I mean, Derrick Rose is coming back 100% healthy. Still got Joakim Noah. Carlos Boozer is probably going to be amnestied at the end of the season. So, you know, the Bulls will have some cap space. And this is kind of what they were hoping for and shooting for, which is to make a run at the possible LeBron and, you know, at the big free agent splash sweep six, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah, it's part two. I mean, your ex-3-point sharpshooter, Steve Kerr, believes in y'all. Thinks y'all are going to beat Miami this year.
Of course.
Miami's not going to three-peat. They shouldn't be three-peat anyway. But
as do I.
God, that shit sting.
We're getting the number one seed again. I don't know why everybody just forgot that we won in two straight years. We're getting it again. Mark it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we see thinking of hot as Michael Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of it is because they went in, but a lot of it is the area, too.
Yeah.
If you live in a city that's popular and you're a good team, everybody's going to want to come there. Michael Beasley was like, fuck it, I'll sign a non-guaranteed contract.
Yep. Which means keep your butt and keep your head on straight or else we can cut you with no problem.
Yeah, I'm like, they don't have to play him as much. We was always asking what Rashard Lewis was doing. Like, he gonna be sitting behind Michael Beasley?
It's a high risk, high reward. It's a low risk, high reward situation for Miami. Just similar to the Greg Oden deal that they did with Greg Oden. And you know, if Michael Beasley does pan out and is able to keep his head on straight, he'd be a nice piece off the bench for them.
Yeah, he would. And we'd be like, see the hell.
Hey, he's back again. The man they drafted after Derrick Rose, he's back.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Hopefully in a better way for them.
Yep.
Now, and before we go out, you know, we got to speak on the fight. Shout out to the brothers at the Hip Hop Digest, King Killer, Kurt G, E. Green.
Yeah,
you know, y'all were talking about the fight, and you said, you know, you was going to let us talk about it. That's what we're going to talk about. So appreciate y'all. Shout out
to
y'all. Please check out their podcast, Hip Hop Digest. If you love you some hip hop like I do, them brothers is hilarious and they drops knowledge and they gives you hip hop as well. So
they
do music. So check them out.
But,
hey man, this, you know, I didn't get to go see it, you know, because y'all went to see EWF.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, of course, you check on Twitter and all that. Everybody'll keep you involved in what's going on.
Of course.
I mean, we all know Mayweather picks people he can beat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he did it with no problem, you know. But this, the fucking, what is this ref? But I call it a draw. Like, what? Here we go.
Yeah. It's something going on. I mean, this is the same ref who called the Bradley fight. We all know the controversy behind that, so. There's something going on. Something going on under the table behind the scenes, and something ain't right. But, I mean, just in regards to the fight itself, I mean, like you, I didn't get the chance to see the whole fight as well. But, you know, Twitter kept me updated, ESPN kept me updated, and I got to see highlights of the fight afterwards. So, I mean, looking at what I saw, it looked so damn easy for Floyd. Like, it wasn't even fair. And, I mean, granted, he's 45-0. Is he one of the best of all time? Yeah, he's one of the best of all time. But, you know, Floyd's a smart guy. I'll give Floyd his credit. He's a smart guy. He's a quick fighter. You know, he has a high boxing IQ, and he knows how to avoid getting hit in the face pretty much all the time. So, I mean, he's good at what he does. He's honed his craft, and he's good at what he does. And, shit, $40 million.
I mean, come on. Setting the record, like, what the heck, man? Yeah, I'm fighting you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a big payday, too. Shoot. I mean, damn, $41.5 million for a fight.
And that's just a fight. That ain't even a pay-per-view.
Like an hour's worth of work. Here's $41 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, bro. That's why they call you money.
Exactly.
Because you makes a lot of it. You know, and of course he had to deny that Twitter joint about talking about Oscar De La Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's his problem. That's what happens when your past comes back.
Yep.
Mayweather apologized for the post, but man.
That's Twitter again. Twitter strikes again.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Floyd talks. We all know it, and you know, he's 45 and no shit. He backs up his talk.
I mean, there's people who want to see him lose. I mean, I'm partially one of them. You know, I'm one of them dudes like, all right, let's see you fight somebody real. You know, but you know that fight should have happened. It's not gonna happen. You know, I'm not paying $80 to see a fight. You know, people putting in on it, that's different. You know, but I'm like, $80? Damn.
No thanks.
I remember when it was $40, and I was like, $40? Damn, that's a lot of money. But $80?
If people going to pay, they going to keep raising it.
You know, although, you know, issues like this with the C.J. Ross, you know, refs like that, even though it's stepping down, like, yeah, you should. You should have been.
Yeah.
Because clearly your judging skills is a little off.
Exactly. Get the hell out of Dodge.
You know, they got to do what they got to do because MMA is taking off.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Shit.
And has been for a while.
Mm-hmm. It's probable. They seem like they fight.
Mm-hmm. They really fight.
You get to see fools getting knocked out. I mean, we love seeing the knockout.
Yeah.
You know,
and
ain't
they
no rest.
Hands, legs, and all that.
You get to see a full KO, you know, and ain't getting judged by no ref. It's just,
mm-hmm.
Damn, you got knocked the fuck out.
Knee to
the
shit. Face. Kick to the head, motherfucker.
That's why we love the Pacquiao joint. He just landed on his face. You're like, damn, bro.
Yep. You got cold cocks. So before we head out this evening, I do want to do my feel-good story of the week.
Oh, no
doubt. Be for the NBA. Coach Rick Adelman is coming back to Minnesota, coming back to coach. We all know his wife has been going through some health issues, been having seizures, basically no diagnosis. So we, of course, wish the best and prayers with her and his family. But it's good to see he's able to be able to be strong enough to come back to work. You know, with everything that's been going on in the family, we all know family comes first. But, you know, sometimes being on that court is where he's able to be at peace. And, you know, he's a guy I'll be rooting for this year. You know, Minnesota is a team that hasn't been good for a while since they got rid of KG. But they've made some nice moves, and they look like a team that's on the rise. Kevin Love is getting healthier. They re-signed Pekovic. Ricky Rubio is a year better. You know, so they've made some moves. Chase Budinger brought in Kevin Martin. Philip Saunders has done a great job as the GM of the team. So they're moving in the right direction. We all saw they were fighting hard for a playoff spot last year, and I think this year may be their chance to make one. So Coach Rick Adelman, former Kings coach, my squad, pulling for him.
No, what's up, man? Hey, Rick Adelman is a great coach. Should have been the Laker coach.
Yep.
But I'm just saying. But no, he's always been a good coach. You know, I am happy that he's coming back. I know there was an issue with that. You know, I think Minnesota is on the cusp of being a playoff team, being probably a pretty good team. And, you know, I like to see that happen. I mean, we saw what happened with George Karl and the Nuggets. It just wasn't the same when he was out. So, I want to see him spend some time and, you know, get Minnesota to where it can be.
Exactly.
You know, and we got our joints of the week. You know, like I said, this one is somewhat a little different than where we normally go. You know, but, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, 42 years. You know, I like to, you know, get them some love. They got a lot of hits out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what song are you thinking about? What would you like to hear?
I mean, what can I say? We in the month of it. Let's just go with September. Because, I mean, great classic song by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Just makes you get up and groove. You can't help but nod your head if you ain't dancing and you sitting down. All you can do is just nod your head to it and just be like, what? Do you remember? That's what I'm talking about, September. So September is going to be the one for me.
All right. For me, yeah, they got a lot of joints. You know what, but shout out to Casey, son of my wife. You know, she was wanting this song. They weren't able to perform it at the show. So I'm going to pick Can't Hide Love. You know, for her, she loved that song. And, hey, man, Earth, Wind, and Fire just does the damn thing.
Yeah, they do. Real yeah.
And don't trip, y'all. I mean, we listen to a lot of different stuff over here. I like picking a lot of different music to play. I mean, don't trip. You know, we are at some point probably going to do a 3-6 Mafia joint.
Don't worry. Yo Gotti is coming.
Yeah, we got different. You know, we keep it all different here. We just like to have fun with the different music. We like different stuff. We can get a little gangster. We can get a little ratchet. We can get a little thuggish. Like, y'all really listen to that stuff? Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's some stuff. Exactly. There's some stuff out there that it's not terrible. You know, it's not something I'm going to listen to with my mama, but, you know, I like what I'm hearing. I like the music. I'm sorry. I like good music. What can I say? But hip-hop, I mean, we got the hip-hop, R&B, got the soul, you know, old school. I mean, what can I say? I'll throw some rock in for you. It ain't nuts. It ain't nothing. If it's good music, it's good music.
Oh, yeah, we might even pull some jazz out. I mean, we cover all the bases. I can't guarantee country, though. If you're a country fan, I can't guarantee you some country. You know, but
There's one country song out there that I might throw out there at one point, but be prepared, everybody.
That's what's up. We want to thank you all again for tuning into the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. As you know, you can find us on iTunes. You know, please leave us 5-star ratings. You know, leave a comment. Let us know what you think of the show. You love it. You don't love it. Leave us a rating. We'll speak on it. You can also find us on Stitcher. You know, give us a little thumbs up if you're loving what you're hearing. You know, favorite us. Tell your friends about it. You know, Stitcher, iTunes, any place else you listen to podcasts. You know, you can find us there. You can also go to our homepage at www.blackisonline.com. You can leave notes on the show page as well. You know, please check out the other great podcasts we got. You know, The Break with Casey Lehman.
What's up, sister?
Joints is always good. Gave you that two-parter last week. We'll see what's coming this week.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you got Coach Connection with Brother Malcolm as well.
Brother Malk.
If y'all want to hit us up, let us know what you think of the football season so far. You know, just talking to us, hollering at us, leave us comments. You just want to chat it up with us. You can leave a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Follow us on Twitter, at Brothers Lehman. Leave us an email. Send us an email, thebrotherslehman@gmail.com.
Yeah, from your host, Chris and Jonathan, this has been the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. We'll be giving it to you strong, and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Turn down love like it's really bad. bless your soul, you can fool a few. Well, I bet ya, you can't pretend there's nothing there. Girl, I look in your eyes, see you care. So why not stop trying to run and hide? My love.